On this busy Monday morning, Clark Webb is popping his head into the classrooms.
My name's Clark Webb. I'm a Goombangero and Bundjalung man.
And what's your official title?
My official title is CEO of Bulleti Moorland Yungan Aboriginal Corporation.
With his wavy hair and bare feet, he looks more like a surfer than a chief executive. His organisation, the Bulleti Moorland Yungan Aboriginal Corporation, started the school partly because they felt like the education system was failing.
And then therefore when we bring our children up to feel really good about who they are through their language and through their culture, then all other learning is sorted because the kids feel good about who they are. Mm. And so, because obviously the rhetoric insinuates that our children are a problem, and we know that's not the case. So we're seeing schools fail all the time, and we just knew that we needed to do it ourselves because, you know, it's not to kind of demonise mainstream education, but they just don't really know how to go about it, whereas we just do it naturally.
Yep, we're on.
Okay, Jingila, or hi, that's in Bundjalung.
Teachers have been making assumptions about Aboriginal kids for decades. It's something the school principal, Glenn Cook, knows well.
You know, walking into a classroom in year three with a bunch of white kids, it was terrifying because the teacher in those days, and that was in the 60s, she did a unit of work on Aborigines. She said Aborigines. Then she started proceeding to say that we were savages and natives. So the entire class turned around and looked at myself and my cousins who were in the class, and it just felt, you know, there was no empathy or no connection at all in that sense. And I thought, you know what? We know who we are. And my mother always said to me, she said, Glenn, you are just as good as a white person. Don't you ever forget that. And I never did, because I think just that early age, being not allowed to attend regular schools because of our Aboriginality as well, we weren't allowed to go to certain schools. And that wasn't taken out till 1983. Mm-hmm. 1983, it was in the teacher handbook.
Glenn's been teaching for 30 years. He lives 2 hours out of Coffs Harbour, but took this gig because he believes in what the school's doing.
It's an important component that we make them proud of who they are. When I was growing up, it wasn't. You were never been made to be feel proud of who you are.
For his students today, their experience couldn't be more different. The Freedom School is open only to Indigenous students from kindy to year 8. They have at least one language class daily and go out on country weekly. And I'm surprised to hear some advanced classes taught almost exclusively in Goombangir.
Come down here, we might just stand up down here. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to know what the kids think. So I sit Bea down and ask her.
I'm down here in the shade somewhere so it don't get too hot.
Okay. So is this your first year at the school then? Or how long have you been going to school here?
About 6 months or something.
Yep. And how do you like it?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10? That's great. So 10 out of 10. Why do you give it 10 out of 10?
Because it's amazing.
What makes it amazing?
Learning.
Yeah.
Letters.
Yeah.
Animals.
Awesome.
Reptiles.
And so do you talk a lot of Goombangir language at school too?
Yes.
And how do you feel when you're talking your language?
Jungle is happy. So jungle.
That's so good. That's the best. I also meet 12-year-old Daro Briggs.
Hang on, wait, don't start yet.
Yeah, we'll just wait.
Okay.
His family moved all the way from Queanbeyan when they heard about the bilingual school.
I like it. They are very proud. That's the reason why we moved up here to this school. Because my parents heard about the one in Northern Territory. They were prepared to move all the way up there and in there. And then they heard about this one, which is a bit closer. So, yeah, they decided that we should move up here.
Back then, Daroy dreaded going to school, but now he loves it.
I feel like I like speaking language to people who can understand it too. And I just like speaking language in general because, I mean, most people at school speak it here too, so it's a good way to communicate. I feel happy and proud to be able to speak my language here and outside of school too, anywhere really. Naja Mirungura Minyaku Naja Jurang language now anandi paramaran bin kala nanandi paramaran bain nanya chat.
Once a school like this would have felt like a distant dream. Back in 1986, there were only a handful of elders who could fluently speak Gumbangir. They caught up at an old church in Kempsey and decided they had to act fast or their language was going to die. With the help of a linguist, they spent years digging through the archives and making recordings to create the first Gumbangir dictionary.
That early work from the 80s, that led to a dictionary or several kind of...
Yeah, well, you should see the first dictionary. Oh, my God, it was about this thin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was, you know...
That's Michael Jarrett, lovingly known as Uncle Miklo, a teacher here.
Yeah, it was, wow. Like, it was a beautiful dictionary with new words in there. Mm. It's not for a linguist or anyone academic. It's used for everyday people.
That group of elders in Kempsey became the Murubai Aboriginal Language and Culture Cooperative, a highly respected language hub. Uncle Miklo was one of Murubai's first graduates in 1997. Now he helps run the place.
There will be a time, I believe, where the Gumbangir people will be the head linguists in our community, and we will be working on our own language every day. This language will grow and grow and grow.
Murubai writes and delivers language courses for schools, TAFEs and other mob, in person and online, and it's helping other Aboriginal communities to do the same. And as for that first dictionary, it's a lot thicker now.
Did you say you already have a word for phone?
A mobile phone is called Muya Bungi. Muya is breath and Bungi is fly.
Right.
Breath fly.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And this one, of course, is Moroge Bungar, mm-hmm. Lightning brain. The bungar is your brain and Moroge is lightning.
Just so I remember what we're referring to, a computer.
Moroge Bungar.
Yes. So how do you come up with those? Is that sort of a discussion between elders and linguists?
Yes. And the linguist and the elders will get together. We work out words that we want to use in everyday you know, like a wall or a floor or a roof, and we'll say, how would you describe that? You know, a wall is like something that you're blocking you, you know? So gulmugu is something that blocks something. Jali is down, julu side. Jali julu, waru is up, julu upside. You know, like that. Because I just love the way we work out all these words.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah,
it's fun.
After decades of work, something special is happening on Gumbangir country.
When we first started, one of the biggest problems was not enough educators to go into all the schools. But now our problem is we haven't got enough schools for all the educators to go into. So now we're running around trying to find out which school this one will go into, which school that one will go into, and all this stuff. So
Gumbangir is now ranked among the top 10 Indigenous languages being renewed nationally.
To see these little kids running around talking in the Gumbangir language and singing in Gumbangir language, telling stories in Gumbangir language. I go, oh, my goodness, the old people back there were sitting around on the ground, eight people sitting around working out how they're going to keep their languages alive and thrive. If they could be here today and see that what's happening in their school, they'd cry.
What began with elders pooling their pensions 40 years ago has turned into a movement. It's even starting to spread beyond the Aboriginal community. Every Wednesday, people from all walks of life meet at an old country hall to learn songs in Gumbangyu. They call themselves the Girawa Dagula Choir, meaning people together. Uncle Miklo started it along with local muso Ruth Kennedy last year. The youngest member is 12, the oldest 75.
It's just really joyous. Like, I just, no matter what I feel like on my way here, I just, it's so uplifting, and I leave and I just really feel a sense of joy.
It just gives you goosebumps, and it's uplifting. I feel like my ancestors are on my back.
For Uncle Miklo, he's doing more than teaching people a few new words.
Languages are part of the revitalisation. The revitalisation involves sacred places and stories and songs and bush foods and, hunting tools, and it encompasses all the stuff. Like, it's just not Ginige, what are you doing in it? Not just hello, how are you, and all that stuff. When we teach them about our sacred places. We teach them about our songs, because then they have an understanding of who we are and we're still here.
We'll be right back.